My dad played a great example in our lives, my sister and I. First, how we see God. Because in the middle of all the killing and shells and bombs, a lot of times he didn't know what to do and he wanted to give us security. And he knew that there are a lot of shattered glasses falling on us. So he wanted to protect us. So he will come and shelter us with his body.
Gosh.
Trying to protect us from harm. And this gave me a beautiful picture of God the Father.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hello, family. Thank you for tuning in to this week's what's going to be an extremely special episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright, and my special guest joining me for today's conversation. She's honestly one of the most inspirational women of faith that I've ever had the privilege of listening to and now meeting. She is the CEO of Sat7 Television Network, which broadcasts across the Arabic-speaking world. And you are going to, I believe, be extremely inspired at what Jesus can do in our lives as we develop our relationship with him, or how he takes our life from one place to another and breathes on us. And just through our relationship with him, just extraordinary things. And so it is my joy to welcome into the conversation with me today, Rita L. Meunier. Rita, welcome.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you.
It's so good to have you with us. So Rita, I wanted to give people a little bit more understanding of your story. So for people who may not be familiar with who you are, can we start at the beginning? So you were born and you grew up in Lebanon, and you grew up during a civil war, which, you know, for me is unimaginable in terms of the challenges that you must have faced in the early years of your life. So can we start there? What was it like for you growing up in Lebanon?
Yeah, it was very hard, but I didn't know what was happening around me, to be honest. I know that I was scared, especially that my father was in the Christian militia or para-army, if you want to call it. So he was a soldier, he goes to war. And my mother those days was very sick, and she passed away during the war. I was 7 years of age and my sister was five. So it was hard for us as kids to understand and absorb what's happening around us. In the middle of all this, insecurities and living in bunkers, sometimes no schools, and without a mom, nobody explained things for us, how things go. And sometimes we are shared, you know, between our uncles and aunties, and people should take care of us, to orphans, everybody feel pity for us. So it was hard. But my dad and our dad, my sister and I, we're fond of him. He was our role model or example in life. Even though he was not a committed Christian back then, I don't know if you know about Lebanon. Lebanon is a Christian country. It's the only Arab-speaking country that is Christian. The president should be Christian. So there is a huge community of Christians that are nominal Christians or the traditional church, like call it this way. Mm-hmm. And my father was one of these, you know, like a Christian, Maronite Christian in Lebanon. So my father was Maronite Christian and my mother was a Greek Orthodox Christian. And of course, at the age of 15, I was the rebellious person in the family, and I started going to a Pentecostal church, charismatic church. But anyway, so my dad played a great example in our lives, my sister and I. First, how we see God, because in the middle of all the killing and shells and bombs, A lot of times he didn't know what to do and he wanted to give us security. And he knew that there are a lot of shattered glasses falling on us. So he wanted to protect us. So he will come and shelter us with his body.
Gosh.
Trying to protect us from harm. And this gave me a beautiful picture of God the Father, that he's always there to protect. He's always there to give me security. And the second lesson that Dad taught me is about television. So when the bombs are really loud outside, he will come to our bunker or the safest place in the house. And he will bring the television, black and, you know, like white set. It was the 70s. And we don't have electricity. So he will hook it to a car battery and he will let us watch television. And this is how we grew my sister-in-law loving television, because it was a kind of refuge for us all these years of wars. And what about that, you know, producing television with a purpose? And this is where I am today in set 7.
Yeah.
And the third lesson that, you know, Dad taught us is about education. So we were a poor, very poor family. Sometimes I go to school with a hole in my shoe. One of my shoes, the right shoe. I couldn't dress up like other students. We were in private school. And he was borrowing money just to give us private education, good education, telling us that girls should, you know, the education for girls is a weapon for them. He's a soldier, the weapon for them in the future. So I cannot give you inheritance. I don't have money to give you bank accounts, but all I can give you is education. And today, you know, like where I am today, you know, the education I got, the languages I speak, I'm speaking to you in my third language. So it is because of my dad.
Wow, what a gift in your life. My gosh, to be able to give you those, they're priceless, aren't they? So he was really intrinsic in the development of your own life of faith, but then also your destiny. Why, you know, forming that, showing you that, yeah, that was a refuge for you as a child, but there is actually, there can be a purpose on television that's life-saving. I mean, it really was for you, wasn't it? Okay, so talk to us about your journey. So from Lebanon to where you are now, like, what was the journey? Did you have a moment where you were specifically called by Jesus into media? I mean, obviously you had that passion for television from a very early age, but how did the Lord guide you to move you forward in the journey?
Well, I was raised Christian, obviously, but I started to have this personal relationship with the Lord, with Jesus, at the age of 15. Okay. And after that, I studied media. My sister as well. And I started doing programs for radio, FIBA radio. I think it's a Christian radio that's also known in the UK. But after that, Sat 7 was an idea. Christian satellite was big in the Middle East. It was the late 80s, you know, like the satellite dishes all over the rooftops. And there was an idea to have a Christian satellite television. It, you know, like the founder of Sat 7 was pioneering with this idea. So what they did, they were looking for professionals, people who studied media, and they're Christians, so professional Christians. So they met me. And it's a funny story. You don't have time, you know, like to, you know, to share it. But I'll tell you the spiritual encounter of it. So they asked me if I can help. They saw my manuscript because I also wrote my, you know, like the program that I host on radio, and they asked for help if I can be the on-screen talent for children programming. I write my scripts and I delivered the scripts. It was 15 minutes children programming on Sat 7. And Sat 7, when it was launched in 1996, 31st of May, it was only 2 hours a week. So this is how, you know, like the first step by step, with like the first step television.
Yeah.
I was scared when I went home and I started praying. And I said, Lord, why are you putting me in a situation like this? I don't know how to reach children in other parts of the Arab world. I know children in Lebanon. I know their challenges. I know their fears. I was a child back then. But now tell me that Sat7 is going to broadcast to Egyptians and to North Africa, Algeria, Morocco, to, you know, like the Gulf. I don't know these children. How will I serve them? And while I was closing my eyes and praying, God talked to my heart and told me, well, I will let you see them. And while I'm praying, I started seeing pictures of children. Children, you know, like running, you know, like barefoot in the street, children eating ice cream and dropping ice cream on their clothes, and children with school bags. And that night, it was the midnight of 5th, 6th of May, 1996, 3 weeks before our first broadcast. I felt that God has given me a love that hurts. You know, when you laugh and laugh and then it hurts.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it. And he said, Rita, this love that I'm going to give you to these children, it's not your love to them. The human love is limited. It will change tomorrow. But this love I'm going to give you is my love to them.
Wow.
And this is where I started. And the sign that it was the hand of God in all this, Holy Spirit guiding me, is from the first month, letters back then, letters, you know, like hundreds and hundreds of letters were pouring into Sat7 from children and their families. So I had to leave at the end my full job with FIBA just to produce and answer letters, the 15 minutes weekly program on Sat7.
Wow. Oh, I feel like bursting into tears. I can feel the Lord's compassion as you're sharing that story. Wow, so that was his love was compelling you to produce the shows.
I was so determined to go and meet these children. It's sometimes a bit dangerous because the majority of these children are not Christian. They're from a Muslim background. Yeah. So I went to Tunis, I went to Morocco, I went to Algeria, of course, to Egypt. And I filmed with the children. And each time I see them running towards me because they know me on the screen with their arms open and their lips ready for a kiss, you know.
Big sloppy kiss.
I knew them before I met them personally because God showed them to me. Maybe because I don't have children. You know, I don't have children. I don't know what does it mean to be a mother. But each time somebody asks me today and tell me, Rita, do you have children? I say, yes, I have like around 150 million children. 150. Oh. I don't know all their names, but they're children. And I think God saw my faithfulness over the years and Sat7 invested a lot, you know, in me. So I became, you know, in 10 years' time, the director of all the Arabic channel, and it was one channel. And then we launched another channel with Sat7 Kids, so two channels in Arabic. So we have a dedicated channel for children. And then third channel is Sat7 Pars for Iran in Farsi. And the fourth channel is Sat7 Turk for Turkish. So I was heading all these four channels. And after that, you know, the founder, president, our executive board said, you're going to become the CEO. Will you accept this? And I said, of course, I do. Of course, I do.
My gosh. Well, you're carrying the whole work in your heart, aren't you? I mean, the center of everything you're doing is the compassion of Jesus. I mean, it's real, isn't it? So what's happening is you're imparting his love supernaturally and it's contained in what you're producing. Just beautiful. So, I mean, how did you begin to communicate with non-Christian Arabic children? Like, what kind of programming did you develop?
Simple words. It's just Bible stories. Just Bible stories. And it's amazing because sometimes we use our brain and theology, you know, to try to convince other people about Jesus. All they want is to know that he loves them. All they want is to hear a miracle, you know, that he performed. It was Bible stories. I mean, at the end, I didn't have time to continue with my program, children program. So until today, you see me on the screen with bedtime stories with Rita. It's just Bible story with a prayer. And you will believe, you know, like the impact of the word of God on the last week. Just reading the Bible story with very simple words, not these fancy words, you know, that we have sometimes in the Bible, just explaining it with a few words, and people just love it. And I want to say something here. I never, ever in my life thought that God can use his people like me. I always thought that God used people that are strong, they're unbroken, they're confident. And when I saw his hand over all these years, I fell in love with him again and again, seeing how and in what way he uses broken people like myself. A child of war, I didn't just live the childhood of war. I lived later on. This is for another maybe episode with the Syrian invasion, and I was a hostage, you know, like, and then another war coming out from Lebanon on a motorcycle behind Hezbollah. I mean, I'm writing my book.
Oh my gosh.
I lived really big adventures. But seeing all this, I was crazy sometimes. Maybe I, you know, took risks. But seeing how God uses these people who are broken, insecure, and not sure what the next step. Because with these people, the Holy Spirit work, and then they will depend me, depending, you know, 100% on his guidance and on his leadership and the Holy Spirit in the work we do.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of why you're an inspiration for other people, because you can see out of the pain and out of the ashes, he's brought forth a woman that's so compassionate, so leaning into the strength of Holy Spirit for your life. And like you said, his leadership, that's perfect. But you're not doing this in your own strength. And there's phenomenal fruit. I mean, you're broadcasting to millions of people, aren't you? And the communications you get back in countries where you can't go to church, you know, like you were saying, broadcasting in Iran. But I've got to backtrack, because you just said some things there and I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody watching is going to be saying, don't carry on. You were a hostage. You got set free from being a hostage.
Well, it's
clearly,
if you call it the hostage situation or no, but when Syria invaded Lebanon, I think in the 1990, they went in a place where I was there. And they took me. There were four or five, you know, like Syrians, a soldier. They took me, and they were trying to communicate what they will do with me, because I'm a civilian. And just imagine, they took me by, you know, I was 22, 23 years old. They took me, you know, and then asked their commander, what will we do with her? And the commander says, so just what is that? Like, spare her, kill her? And then they killed, you know, like one missionary that was, you know, like there. So I saw him on the floor, you know, like with all the blood. So I was devastated. And then the soldier said, we stay here with other people because we have orders to kill everybody, no civilians. So I stayed in that place for 24 hours, didn't know what's going to happen. My dad was living back then. He was sure that I died. So the minute he saw me the next day coming, I remember the prodigal son. He was running down the stairs and just hugging me, sniffing me. He couldn't believe that I was still alive.
Wow. The Lord's hand of protection on your life, hey? My gosh.
A lot of times I walked between mines to go and visit my dad and back. So I did a lot of crazy things, but that's why I could see his hands, because sometimes it was and maybe reckless. But when you're young, you didn't want anything to stop you. No. And I felt trapped, and I didn't want to feel trapped. I wanted to choose my own path in life, and I didn't want anyone, any politics or anything else, dictate what to do next. But I praise the Lord that he was with me every single step of the way, and he shaped me. So today, when I look back, I just smile and thank him for all the protection, you know, like in my life. And I thank him also for this new generation of young people that still live in circumstances like me, you know, now. Yeah. It's what happening in the Holy Land, you know, like in Syria and places, not even Lebanon, you know, other parts of Sudan. And I pray for this young generation that they will have the boldness enough to stand up and lift their arms up and just say, Lord, you are the Lord in our lives. And please guide us to change the face of our countries. Enough.
Enough. Enough. And the fact that you're spiritually mothering the children that are growing up now, and you literally are sitting there as living hope for them. It's like, there is a better way. There is a real God. He really does protect us. We really can have relationship. There really is a destiny. And you're the living proof of that to these kids. You know, it's like, if you can do it, the Lord can do it through you. He can, there's hope, right? He can do it through all of us, no matter how dire the situations are. And of course, in many of these countries, they are. I mean, it's so serious what's going on. And so you broadcast into Iran and to places like that. So tell us some of the stories, because I know you've got a lot of testimonies, because you said you have a lot of letters in. There's a lot of lives being touched and changed, at children and adults. So can you tell us some of the stories?
Yeah, I mean, have lots of stories.
Many, many. We need to do about 10 shows, because yeah. It's hope. It's what the Lord is actually doing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I share two stories, and they're always, when I share them, it's a bit emotional for me, because I could see the price that a lot of Christians, especially Christians who are from a Muslim background, pay. This is something that we don't understand as born, you know, like Christians, or, you know, a Christian by birth. Yeah. Story is the story of the Algerian church. Usually in Arabic, we carry Arabic services, church services. You know, we have one church service every Friday from Egypt and another church service every Sunday from Lebanon.
You broadcast.
Okay. So the Algerian church, they're all committed, they're all, you know, Muslim background. They contacted me once and say, why don't you come and visit us and broadcast from our church? So I said, why not? Let me go and visit them. I visited them. And it was a lively church, but they're all Muslim, you know, becoming Christian. They're worshiping. It's really very charismatic to be, you know, like in that church, because it's the Amaziri tribal, you know, way of worshiping God. And then the, you know, like the lady there, she said, so put cameras, and we start broadcasting, you know, like to the whole, you know, like to the whole Arab world, so they will see the church in Algeria. So I told her, do you know that your faces will be shown on the screen? And she said, yes. I said, well, do you know that we have millions of viewers? So people will recognize your faces and they know that you are Christian, but from a Muslim background? She said, yes. I'm like, do you understand what I'm saying? And she said, yes. You mean persecution? And I said, yes. And she said, Rita, persecution is a crown we put on our heads every single day. Don't take it away from us.
Wow.
And we started broadcasting church services from 2013 until, you know, today. Yes, they are closing churches now. Since 2018, they started closing churches in Algeria. And I called them just to make sure, how are you doing, Rita? They can close our churches, their buildings, but they can never close our hearts loving Jesus Christ.
Oh, my gosh. That's extremely impacting and humbling. My gosh.
Another lady from Iran wrote to the Iranian, you know, like Iranian set seven pars. She said, I am in Tehran, in Iran. I became a Christian because of your programs. So when you pray, I pray with you on the screen. When you worship on the screen, I worship with you. I don't know any other Christian in Tehran. I don't know any pastor or priest or anyone. So you became my church at home. But I have one wish. I wish one day that I will see you in person. And when I see you, I will bow down and wash your feet and tell you thank you for what you're doing for the isolated Christians like myself in Iran.
Wow.
These are stories that keep me going and excited every single day. Yes.
For children, a mother of two. I mean, I can tell you, you know, like a lot of
it's wonderful to hear them, because it's like you said, it's why you do what you do. When you hear the lives and how they're impacted in a very, very different way, I understand. When we get all the communications in from what the Lord's having me share on the show, the little ways that we can serve, and we don't realize the impact Jesus takes our little efforts and transforms lives. And like you said, for isolated Christians in countries where they will be persecuted for their faith, you know, is a very high likelihood that that would happen to them. So they're risking their lives. Their relationship with Jesus can't ever be taken away.
Yeah, yeah, imagine that. Yeah. And children also. I mean, it's amazing to see the impact of the programs that we broadcast, you know, like on children's lives. I mean, I really believe that one day a child will grow and will become a president in a country like Iran or Afghanistan or I don't know, and change the country because this child was exposed to children programming on Sat7.
Yeah.
Because the slogan of Sat7 Kids is it came up from women from Saudi Arabia. They were gathering and watching our children's show. And then they sent us, say, why don't you, you know, like put Sat7 Kids where your children are safe? Because we're Muslims, but we put our children to watch your program because there is no violence and it tells about the love of God.
Yeah.
Our women in Saudi Arabia. And wow. It's fantastic. Wow. To see women like writing. Now my sons, 3 and 5 in Algeria, they're Muslim. They don't go to bed until I go to their bedside and pray with them like you pray on the screen and finish the prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isn't that incredible? And then they go to sleep feeling safe and peaceful and loved. Oh my gosh, I love that. And I love that in the culture as well, the women gather, don't they? They all come together and bring their children and go to each other's houses and share and... So it's a social gathering.
Yeah. The television is a centerpiece, you know, in our living rooms in the Middle East.
Is that right?
Mm, yeah. So everybody's around a TV.
Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful. Wow. I could listen to you for hours. All the stories. It's so impacting. So is there a way that, you know, obviously there's lots of people around the world watching now. How can we pray for you in all that you're doing?
Yeah, for me personally, please, you know, pray that I will always have the stamina to continue because it's a big work, big role.
Yeah.
It's supervising, you know, channels, communication, development, you know, operation. I have a wonderful team around me, but please pray for so I will not lose this stamina because a lot of times I feel a little bit tired. So this is on a personal basis.
Yeah.
On Sat7 basis, pray for the people in the Middle East and North Africa.
Yeah.
You know, what you see on the news a lot of times, it doesn't represent, you know, like the Middle East, doesn't represent the people. You see terrorism and this and, you know, suicide bombing and violence, and they're not the people. The people are like me and you. All they want is to live in peace, to live in dignity, to let their children, you know, grow up and find work and find jobs and bring money and bread, you know, to the table.
Yeah.
They don't know. They never heard. They never met a Christian. You know, like 90% of them never met a Christian in their lives. And they don't know. They hear, oh, the Bible is corrupted. You know, worship 3 gods. You eat the flesh of Jesus. They don't know.
Yeah.
So pray for them. When you pray for them, try to forget about what you see on TV, on secular media, because it's different. Yeah.
That's so important for us to hear, because these are countries that are closed to most of us. And so we do have a distorted understanding because we're reliant on the media, like you said. And that when I have traveled, you know, the little bit that I have traveled into those regions of the world, I've been extremely impacted by what you've just said, actually, that they're just families, people trying to raise their kids, trying to make a living and have a peaceful life, exactly what you just said. And then the similarity between us, even though we're from very different cultures, we're still people, and everybody just needs to know they're loved and that there's a God who absolutely loves them. So we will absolutely be praying for you. It's an amazing story, your story. It's very humbling listening to you. And it's an amazing work that you're doing, and to reach people where they know they're not alone. You know, they're hearing the truth and they're not alone, and you're there and you're with them and you're giving support and praying for them is just beautiful. So Rita, thank you for giving us your time, and thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you.
And guys, thank you for giving us your precious time today. I know you will have been really encouraged, and yeah, same God. He can do anything with our lives as we just trust him and take the next step. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. Many people know in their head that they're loved, but the experience of God's love hasn't reached their heart. That's why I wrote my most recent book, Loved. It's a 90-day devotional that gives you language to actually escort you into experiencing the love of God, which is the moment where everything changes for us. So I encourage you, pick up a copy of Loved today, and your life will never be the same again.